Pat Anger needs no introduction from me. Been on the show a couple times now. He joins us again to recap his first year in the booth calling the Iowa Hawkeye football games with Gary Dolphin. Talks about what makes Gary so great and why he makes it easy on Pat, why this was good for him, being able to be back around the program. We dive into his family life and other random topics as well. Drake joins us for this one. You're going to love it. Let's have a day. Let's go. I don't think Drake was here.
Yeah, he did.
I was on a big time boycott, and then I just decided that even though we got a bunch of pussies that listen to this show and think that they know everything that's going on and think that they can dictate what's right and wrong for the University of Iowa, these little sheep, I decided that I wasn't going to let that ruin my ability to come talk to some of my best friends and mentors and people I care about most in this world. So I had to come and stop by for Pat Anger.
I love you, Drake.
Love you, partner.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. That's the show tonight.
Hopefully you're not playing that.
Oh, that's staying in, brother.
Oh, gosh, no. No, don't do that to Drake. Drake, how's it feel after the Super Bowl? They just talk shit about you the whole time.
What do you mean?
There was a lot of Drake talk.
Yeah.
Travis,
that's right.
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, weird because all of the group chats of my buddies who are actually talking about the music and stuff, it's all like fuck Drake, and I just popped in there like, well, what did I do?
Coming after me.
Gosh. Drake, how's the jiu-jitsu, man?
It's good, man.
Still doing it? You're still rolling?
Yeah, I still do. I trained yesterday and today.
Are you Arizona? Are you in Arizona?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
You know, Doyle's kid's down there, down in Texas, doing it. Donovan.
Is doing jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
Really?
He's getting pretty – I mean, because he wrestled at Harvard, you know? Like, he's
– Yeah.
He's got that background. I'm sure that helps.
That's cool. Damn, we need to get Coach Doyle into it.
Heck yeah.
Oh my God. That would be something to watch.
Just crush somebody's skull.
Dude, imagine Drake, you show up to a tournament and Doyle's standing across from you.
That'd be awesome. Well, the fact that we're talking about Doyle is ironic because this morning I woke up in horrendous anxiety, soaking wet, because in my dream I was late for football and I got there and Doyle ripped me a new ass.
Bro, you
and
still
then I
have
woke
those
up
dreams?
Every single night.
Dude, I've had those before, man. I've had those dreams before. It's scary.
That's unbelievable, Drake.
That's how much that program owned my psychology, is that I still have dreams about football basically every night, and they're all based around being late.
So this is actually a little bit wild, because I had a dream that KF didn't let me fly home from a game because I was – no, because I was helping illegally recruit people. And it wasn't even football players. It was to the women's basketball team. I was in on something with the Swarm, and like we were doing illegal stuff. That I had this dream like before that, like 5 days ago. This is unbelievable.
Are you into some illegal stuff? Legal recruiting? Is that what's going on?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I hope so.
Around
somebody
here,
we gotta do it.
If you're the face of bringing in women's basketball, we're screwed.
We're fucked. We are done for. Clearly I'm not, because the kinds of recruits that they got in the building are top five. They're unbelievable. Yeah. Big win for the Hawks last night, as we record this on Tuesday the 11th. Got the Huskers. I think they're at five in a row now. Basically locked up a berth to the tournament at this point, and got a chance to knock off UCLA. So maybe we get Pat on some calls for that. But
I'd do a terrible job.
That'd be sick.
Robbie does a good job.
Yeah, they're awesome. So that was a great intro. People are just there's gonna be so many God, I love Doug. Seriously, Pat, when people hear that, they go, I'll get multiple comments on this show. God, I miss Drake so much. That just,
please do not put that on.
Dude, that is like not even a top thing worst thing he's ever said on this podcast.
Just don't do that to your guy Drake.
Oh yeah. Are you caught up on the Kendrick Drake beef?
I do it to myself, Pat.
No, I'm not caught up.
Are you hip with the kids?
I'm like 40 years old, dude. I don't know anything.
Are you 40, 40? Like actually?
Are you 40 yet? You're not 40 yet.
Still in my prime.
Okay, well, you're running there. Yeah,
well, let's hope I get there.
what's gonna take you out at this point? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
How many kids do you have?
I got three.
How many?
It's weird, dude. I got a kid in seventh grade. Like, it's so weird.
That is
like
weird.
2 years, he's in high school. 2 years, I'm going to have a high schooler. Like, what? I don't even know what I want to do when I grow up. I'm going to have a kid in high school. It's the weirdest thing.
I had a moment like that today where I realized that in a few years, I'll have been in high school 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So in 5 years, when I'm 35, like freshman year, you're 15, I was like, oh my God, we're not that far out from being in high school 20 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, and like still laughing at farts, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Dude, especially with kids. My daughter tonight, that was 2 hours of just giggling and gas. That was all it was. And watching Olaf on.
Oh, man, I've seen that movie about 1,000 times. You're deep in it.
Oh, we're in it. I love it right now. With three boys, right?
No, my youngest is a girl. I got a seven-year-old girl and a 10-year-old boy.
Tough as nails, probably.
Who, my daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with her.
Yeah. With two older brothers and them being anger boys, that's got to be – she's just in the fire.
Well, they're a little soft. Boys are a little soft right now.
Wow. Ooh, that's tough.
Are they?
Well, you know the quote, you know, hard times create hard men. Hard men create good times. Good times. I created too many good times. Too many good times.
So this is on you.
I shouldn't have been such a hard dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I blame my father the same way, Pat. My father gave me way too privileged of a life, and I just grew up.
Well, I hope my kids end up being as tough as you, Drake.
Do you hear the news?
If I have kids, I hope they grow up like you.
Wow, this is incredible. You guys are just Pat, did you hear the big news out of Muscatine?
What's the big news?
Drake's going to be inducted into the Muscatine Hall of Fame.
Let's go. Congrats, Drake. You don't have to beat Bettendorf to get into the Hall of Fame out there, huh?
I did beat Bettendorf at Bettendorf. Scored twice on him, too.
That's awesome, man. You deserve it, dude.
What's that all about, Drake?
Thank you. I can't go to the ceremony, unfortunately, because the very next day we leave for Mexico for a week of quote unquote work. So it was stretching me too thin. Yeah.
When did you learn that was going to happen, Drake?
Back in like September.
And did I read it right? That you're like, is this like the inaugural class or is it already established?
No, it's already established.
Now it's really been a
Muscatine Hall.
Now it's legit.
Well, my first thought was, if this is the first class of people to go in there, how is Drake going in before Joe Wieskamp?
No, Lord, no.
But no, that's big time. How much did your swimming national championship get you in there?
It was a state championship. It didn't hurt.
I thought that was like the gold star. That was the prime. You know, I don't know. Do you get a statue or?
They definitely should put a plaque up with my big ass mug on it.
Have you seen Muscatine's weight room recently? Dude, it's awesome.
The new building, the Van Heck Center.
Unbelievable. Yeah. It's so good.
Yes, it is. And all of it's doing is creating trash teams because these kids are absolutely soft as baby shit.
They're going to pull that Hall of Fame announcement.
hard times create hard men.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, we had like a real good thing going in that program for a while too, man. We had some real headwind, some momentum. It wasn't the old Muscatine, just doormat. Now we're back to just getting stepped on.
I played against some good Muscatine teams. They beat us in the playoffs. Zach Wells was a quarterback on one of the teams.
Shout out Zach Wells.
He was a really good quarterback. He had the Fry brothers. I think it was Sulzberger.
Frere brothers.
Yeah.
The Sulzbergers, the Frere brothers. Yeah, they had some momentum.
They were tough dudes.
Yes. That's the Muscatine I want people to remember.
But it's not. What's the recent record? Is Bettendorf like 10 of the last 10 on you guys or something like
that? No, they beat Bettendorf, I don't know, 5 or so years ago, I feel like.
Muscatine hasn't won more than 2 games since the plandemic.
Marshalltown and Muscatine could have a absolute battle over the last 5 to 10 years. That would be unbelievable. Anyway, we'll get off Muscatine. That was big news, though. We got someone tagged us on that on Twitter. How many times, Pat, do you get – like how many – seventh grader. So like your kids probably – I mean, you talked about the wrestling in the basement last time. How many times have you like – had to go to the emergency room?
Oh, there was a really bad one. It would have been, I don't know, when he was in fifth grade. My neighbor came over and we were, it was like 8 o'clock at night. And we're throwing balls to the kids. And my neighbor let him a little bit too long and he ran right into the fence and knocked out all of his teeth from here all the way here. And I did the dad thing like, dad, you're fine. Let me look at it. Right. And he comes up and he pulls up his lip. I'm like, oh gosh, let's see. We're going to the, yeah. So that's been expensive. Luckily we've got friends that are in the dental industry and we're able to help kind of piece his mouth back together that night. But, yeah, that's been tough. Alex Canales was my roommate.
That is a horrendous.
Dude, it was bad. His jaw's broken up here. It was gross. A lot of times in the ER, broken bones, all that stuff. You know, it is what it is. The one thing too, somebody was talking about this the other day. You don't see kids in casts anymore.
Never. They're too busy playing video games, bro. They got arthritis.
I mean, my daughter's broken her arm, and my oldest son's broken a lot of stuff. My middle son hasn't really done anything crazy, but yeah, it's weird, man. We would always climb trees and get hurt and be in a cast forever.
I damn near broke my neck and paralyzed myself in eighth grade trying to learn how to backflip.
That's weird.
Just in my front yard, just trying to learn how to backflip, just landing on my neck. Time after time, like, I'm gonna get this. I swear to God, like 50 times. Eventually I got it. Drake can vouch for me.
He taught me to backflip.
Did that? We did some stupid shit in the Hillcrest park.
Yeah. That'll happen.
I was backflipping off of the tree in the Hillcrest like lawn.
Can you imagine if you would have got hurt? What the coaches would have said,
dude? And it was on video too. God, I would have been. Yeah, that would have hurt bad.
The coaches would have said, oh, well, another replaceable.
That's true. At that time, no one would have blinked an eye. They would have been like, all right, we don't give a shit about this guy. And they didn't. And they didn't for 3 more years.
Yeah, they didn't care about me at that time either, Kluver.
To be fair, they didn't care about many guys in our class. I mean, other than Desmond, our class was dog shit, expendable.
Yeah. Expendable.
Do you ever hear about that, Pat? The 2013 class, me and Drake's class recruiting, worst recruiting ranking as a total class in the history of KF's tenure.
Wow. Ended up in the Big Ten championship, huh? In the Rose Bowl. Good for you.
Check us out.
We got an article written on us by Scott Docterman, like after the fact, like by the time we were seniors, about how bad we were recruiting wise. And then how much we actually ended up contributing. Shout out Josie for a lot of that. And Nate.
Yeah, Munchen. He wasn't bad.
Still playing.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, that guy.
Well, I mean, you know, you're – so 2014, right? You guys didn't make it to a bowl game, right?
2020.
We did. We went to the Hawks Fire Bowl.
Is the last time
they 2012.
Didn't make
it. Yeah. Okay. And then 2015 was your Big Ten championship. And then, okay. But, like, you know, we were kind of similar. My sophomore year, we didn't make it to a bowl game. And then everybody was, you know, writing us off, saying how bad we were and all that
2007?
Stuff. 2007? Yeah. Yeah. And then 2008, you know, had a solid year. And then 2009 had a good year. So it's just, I don't know. Sometimes you need to get your ass kicked.
How motivating was that off season after the no bowl game? Like that period where they just whooped your ass.
Oh, dude.
The whole next off season.
Dude, we did the 100 squat workout like 10 times. It was like, honestly, not 10 times, but I bet we did that for about a month straight.
Oh.
And you know, you.
Man,
yeah, no, but, you know, and everybody, sometimes you got to do hard stuff. You know, sometimes you got to do hard stuff to get better. And
a lot of time.
Yeah. Pretty much every time. Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, you'd see guys like limp into class and you'd like hobble up on them and slap them in the legs and they would just drop to the ground because their legs were so sore.
They're building mental toughness there.
Oh, dude. But yeah, I mean, then, hey, if anyone wants to, you know, we were down for anything. I would have fought anybody, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard you're like to fight people.
Yeah, back in the day, you know, there's nothing like a good practice scrap, you know.
I heard practice. You like to fight people. It didn't matter if it was practice. It didn't matter. Like this guy right here, this guy. Yeah.
You know, there's some
guy was a warhammer.
What was going through this guy's mind? This
not a lot going through that mind.
What's the biggest difference between you right now and this probably 20-year-old kid?
At that time in my life, I probably thought that I knew everything, and now I realize I don't know anything.
That's fair.
Wow, man. It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's, you know, when your
childhood ego dissolves, it hurts bad.
But it's also freeing. It's also really, very freeing.
It's freeing. It's helpful. It really is. After the fact, it's great. But when it dies, when you realize that you aren't shit, when you thought you were Superman, it hurts. Yeah.
And Pat really was Superman.
No,
you were, dude. For like
Pat led the NFL in tackles.
We lost every game but two that year, so
a lot of tackle opportunities.
I played two seasons in one. So
how bad did your body hurt after that season, dude?
Yeah, that was tough, man. And it was like halfway. It's like halfway through the season, and McAfee came up to me and he goes, "You know, you're the only starting middle linebacker in the NFL that's playing on all special teams and all defensive snaps."
Oh no!
And I was like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah, don't do that." And I'm like, "I don't know. They just put me on the like." So that, don't. And I was like, "No, I like getting that couple extra tackles a game. You know, it's cool." And so then after that, I think I just played. I was just a personal protector on punt after that, but. Yeah, the body was sore. You know, I ended up, after that year, I had surgery. After that year, I had surgery on my knee. And then the following year, I had three surgeries in a month. And I probably had, I mean, gosh, I probably had 13 surgeries probably since 2011.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? And you guys say the same thing. I'd do it all over again in a second.
Mine's coming from a different perspective, so it doesn't really count. But yes, I would. I mean, I could go do what I did right now.
Yeah.
But yeah. No one wanted me because I'm a midget. somehow you got around that. I don't know how you worked yourself around that one.
I don't get that either. I'm 5'11". Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Bob Sanders helped that out, I think, with the Colts and
shout out. Bob.
Yeah, I never heard him say – I don't think I've heard him say more than five words, but
– I was just going to ask, we would love to have him on this show, but I think he'd be a horrible guest. He would sit
– Well, he just – I don't
– Wow.
He just – I don't think he'd – it's not his thing. You know, he'd rather just knock people out.
Well, that makes me so sad because to hear his actual thoughts on, like, his time at – like, it would be really cool to have that, like, an hour conversation on that. But I just think we'd be like – Bob, like you changed the program. Like, how does that feel 20 years later? He'd be like, yeah, it's cool, man.
Well, and even, you know, I talked to Gallery last week for like the first time maybe the second time ever. And he was one of the ones too, you know, for me that like, oh my gosh, it's Robert Galley. Like that dude is a machine, beautiful hair, just killed everybody on the field. He'd be a really good one to have on the podcast, but you guys might have to pay.
Well, to be fair, I did see him at one of the like the summer legacy events.
Yeah.
And it was really at the height of the pot. Like I had everything going for me.
Now you're on a downhill.
Yes, for sure. And he was walking back up to get food or like to throw his plate away. And I was like, this is the moment I can go do it. But like very similarly, like I used to have Robert Gallery's signed jersey card of his, of him on the Raiders, like by my bedside table.
Yeah.
And I, in that moment, I just became the 7-year old that was like, oh my God, it's Robert Gallery.
Yeah.
And I pussied out. I couldn't ask him. I just simply could not walk up to this man. I'm 5'10". He was probably like, are the managers allowed back here too? Like they get to come to the legacy events is what he would have thought. And he's 6'8" and still beautiful, like tatted, still has tons of hair. And I would have gone up to him and been like, hi, I was a long snapper. And now I do a podcast and I'd love to have you on my pod. Like how fucking bitch does that sound? Like I couldn't do that. And so I had my chance, blew it.
I kind of had a moment like that with Royce Alger. You guys know who Royce Alger is? Legendary wrestler, one of the greatest ever at Iowa. Legend, just tough dude. Fought in the UFC. I saw him at a football game many years ago, and I was so excited. Like I went up to him, like, "Hey, I'm Pat Ingar. I used to play here. You know, I know Morningstar is one of my good friends. You know, it's so nice to meet you. I love you." And he was like, "Yeah, cool, man. All right, we'll see you."
Wow. And you're Pat Ingar, bro. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, he's a bad dude, man. Royce Alger is a legend.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Anybody that wrestled at Iowa, I wouldn't want to really meet in the street.
No, we had my bachelor party. We were out in a farm out in Tipton, and I hung out with the wrestlers more. Just because I wanted to be one and I sucked at wrestling. But so we just, you know.
Welcome to the party.
We got all liquored up and Morningstar was there, and I think Beatty and Dennis and Daniel Dennis and all those guys. And I think when I say Slayton might have been there, and we got wasted and then wrestled for like 2 hours. And I locked up with Morningstar, who's like 165. And dude, he just threw me around like it was nothing. My brother made sure we hit all our knives before we started wrestling.
I was just gonna say doesn't surprise me that Pat's idea of like his bachelor party is like, I just want a bunch of dudes to manhandle me. You know?
It sounds, now that I say it out loud, it doesn't sound great. Yeah. But
hey guys, let's go out to the country and just
wrestle.
I want you to toss me around, you know.
Oh shoot. Yeah, just forget that. I forget I ever said that.
Nah, that's going to be – maybe Dolph will ask you about that on the
– oh, gosh.
What a legend that guy is. How is it working with that guy?
He loves Iowa football. Like, he absolutely loves it. And, I mean, he carries me through every single game. He's so good at his job. It's amazing. His preparation, he's doing basketball as well. Halfway through the season, he's doing basketball and football at the same time. Yeah. And I'm tired just doing football games, and the dude's a freaking machine. The dude is an absolute machine. And I love that guy, man. And he's somebody that, you meet a lot of legends, right. And going to Iowa and all that. Like he's a dude that I absolutely love and would fight for.
He's such a natural. Like when he's been on our show like once or twice and he comes on and he's just like he was like one of those guys that's just made for what he does. Unbelievable. What is like a weekly schedule look like or a weekend schedule look like for you? Like at home it's probably not that big of a deal, but like away games you travel on Friday with the team?
Yeah, we go with the team. Yeah.
Okay.
And we sit in the way back and it's weird, you know, like in the NFL, because I hadn't been in a college playing a long time, and maybe it was different when we played, but no one talks on the plane. It's like, you know, it's a business trip, right? In the NFL, like, everyone's talking and laughing and having a good time. Now in college, it's like they're zoned in, they're locked in, they're ready to go. And maybe because they're all on their phones and stuff now. I don't know. That might be.
I was afraid to talk, dude. If I got caught laughing at Doyle on the plane, I wasn't getting in them crosshairs.
Yeah, it's a business trip. And so then me and Dolph are in the back just giggling the whole time, and he's telling jokes and stories. And
oh, he's got stories too.
But yeah, you know, we'll go out to a nice dinner, and it's nice to be able to have a couple of cocktails prior to, you know, the day before. And we get there pretty early, kind of go over everything. Hey, what I saw on film, you know, during the week, and you know, hey, this is what we're going to do in this time and all that. And then obviously you play the game, and then you fly back home the next day. And you know, there were some late nights, you know, where I had to stay up in Iowa City because I couldn't drove home. And there were some nights where I had to drive home with the windows down because it was, you know, 2 a.m. and you're freaking exhausted. You've been in wherever the hell you've been. And, but it was awesome, man. And it was, just being a part of it again, and obviously very small part of it, but being a part of it and being around it and being around those good men, it was good for me mentally.
And you didn't cut.
Aside from being a coach, that's as back in it as you can get, dude. You're traveling with the team. You're watching their film. You're commenting on every single snap that they play. Like, you're in it.
Yeah. And you're not there for, like, all the stuff that's not fun, right? You're not there at those cold practices.
Right.
You're not, you're just there for the game and all the cool stuff. Like, it's the best. And, it's cool being around Ray and LeVar and Abdul and, you know, Coach Ferentz and all that stuff. And it was hard for me when they would lose because we'd have to ask, you know, them questions after the game. And, like, that was hard to talk to coach after the games that we lose, like, hey, you know, try to find a positive in it.
And that is weird. I didn't, 'cause
he's still
that.
Like, he's still on a pedestal for me, you know, he'll always be. But it was a lot of learning, I think, you know, initially I was like, the first game, I probably call it like a fan would call it. And then, you know, try to get a little bit better in the, analyst part, and, I'm going to hopefully spend more time up in Iowa City in the meeting room this off season. And because you lose some of the lingo, right? You lose some of that stuff. And obviously it's almost a different language. We're in a different defense and you're in the league and you're, you know, different things like that. So I want to be able to talk like they talk and, you know, be able to decipher things a little bit better. Because believe it or not, half the time, you don't know what the hell's going on. Some of the times you don't even have a replay in the booth. So you're trying to figure out or that's delayed or something like that. So it's sometimes you're just kind of winging it.
Dolph is because sometimes they've got the they've got like the live feed of you guys in the booth. And Dolph's like, he's watching that game basically through binoculars a lot of the times, doesn't he?
That's crazy. Yeah.
I don't know how he does that. I tried that. I can't. No, I don't know how he does it.
Like, he's, and again, he's just so smooth with it. Like, it's really fun to watch him operate. I definitely was advocating a lot for people to turn the TV on and then match it up with you guys on the radio. And that's
pretty nice of you.
Yeah. It's a really, it's a fun way to watch. And like, it takes a little bit. You got to like pause, make sure that lines up. But it's like the best. It's the best way to listen to it because most of the time the TV announcers are dog shit. I mean, they're horrible.
What is with that? Why can't we get anybody good announcing Iowa games? What? Give Pat Anger a TV contract because it's unbearable. I watch him on mute.
Eagle's good. He's was it Noah Eagle? He you know, he's one of the few guys that comes into our radio booth and shakes our hands and talks to us before the game. Hey, what do you see him? What do you like? Super respectful, really, really good guy. He's honestly, he's the only one that does that. So that's I got a lot of respect for him. But you know, you got to be good looking to be on TV, and I don't think any of us Iowa guys are.
Speaking of Eagle.
Is somebody taking a pee? What's going on here?
No, I'm frying bacon. I didn't know y'all could hear that.
I thought you were taking a pee, dude.
Nah, even better.
He's frying bacon at 6 p.m. or 7 p.m.
Well, he's in Arizona.
Yeah. Great little segue, though, Pat. It's like you're a professional at this. Mentioning Eagle, we're actually sponsored by Eagle Point Solar.
Oh, wow.
What do you know about solar energy?
I don't know. It's like Bitcoin to me. I don't get it.
It's like Bitcoin. It's way more simple than Bitcoin, man. These guys at Eagle Point, it's all in-house. They make the modules. They do the installation. They're qualified. They're certified. Dolph usually does these ad reads for you, so you never even have to worry about this.
No, and he's really good at
He's unbelievable at it. I need to get just Dolph. Can we call Dolph in to call for Eagle Point?
Yeah, contract Dolph to do our ad reads and make more money? Because we know that we're not making shit off Clipper's voice.
Iowa Hawkeyes, Eagle Point Solar, bringing you the sun. No, but seriously, these guys are amazing. They want you to come to their website and just give them a chance. They're giving away a $200 Amazon gift card just for doing their free solar analysis. That's all you have to do. Send them your electric bill. You may or may not be somebody who could benefit from solar. It is an investment. These things got a 30-year warranty on them. They're an Iowa-located company, local company. They're trying to help you out, save you some money. Who knows? Save $50, $100 on your energy bill each month. You could spend $100 extra at the bar on the weekend, Pat. How about that?
I got three kids. Love to have enough time to go to the bar.
Yeah, that's true. I feel you. EaglePointSolar.com. Everybody should go check them out. They are the best. And they have a sick map of all the installations they've done all over the country, a lot around the Midwest. So it's going to be spring soon. Sun's going to come out. Might as well take advantage of it. As far as the first year goes, was there anything you had expectations of the job, or like these thoughts of like what it was going to be, and anything that was like super actually different, or like anything in the process that you're like, oh, I actually was not expecting this to be part of this thing?
Not really, man. I'm terrible at like asking questions, you know, like, so I was, I just, whatever they wanted me to do, I'll do. I mean, what was weird, you know, the first game, like we hadn't done any, no walkthroughs, like nothing really like that. Obviously, during the interview process, we did a simulation, but that was one quarter. So I had no idea how it even worked until we did the first game. So that was nice to kind of know what was going on. I mean, honestly, the big thing for me, and I knew it before, was just how good Gary is, just how absolutely good. Any you know, spot or any time where it was quiet or something like that, like he could just roll with it and he could just do it. And I couldn't. I'm not good at that. I can't do that. I don't know. You know, the travel really wasn't too bad. It was fun. What I obviously one of my favorite parts of the season was when my man Joe Glazer took one to the dome and then cut a hell of a promo. Like that was awesome. And I didn't even know, and this is how little I know. I didn't even
Joe
know
from Des Moines.
I didn't even know when Rob was doing those interviews that you could hear us. Like I didn't even know. I had no idea.
Yeah, you're keyed in on that. I think. I mean, they could turn you off, I think, or mute you, but
yeah, glad they didn't. And the one thing too, you know, and guy that really doesn't get a lot of talk is Corey Sheets, our producer.
I was going to say, you guys have help up there. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Isn't there a spotter and like?
Yeah, there's a spotter that helps out with Gary. Rob does the sideline, then Corey Sheets does the producing, and he's solid. It doesn't like. He runs our whole lives because he's detailed. He's on the ball. Like he makes sure we're squared away, and became really good friends with him, and glad to be able to work with him.
The setup is crazy. Like imagine if you had to go in and set up all the mics and all.
Dude, I had to help him in Maryland set up, and then the whole first quarter, it was an echo. So I heard myself twice.
And
oh,
impossible
dude.
To talk.
Oh man, it was rough. And Corey was able to get everything fixed, but I'm like the one time I help him set up, I ruin everything.
It's a nightmare, man.
But it's kind of smart because I doubt they'll ask me to do that ever again.
Yeah, you underperform, and then you never have to. Yeah. You're like, all right, this guy sucks. We can.
Or if they ask you to do it again and you do great the next time, they're like, oh man, this guy is an elite learner.
Hey, that's a good way of looking at it, Drake.
Just learns great, man. The part of the gig too is like, or I guess maybe not, but you tell me. Like Gary goes and does all these events and like talking, and like how much of that was cooked into the deal, or how many opportunities do you have to go to? I know I've seen you with him at several places that aren't just like, oh, it's game day. So how much of that is like, do you have to do, or do you get to do, I guess? Like, what is that?
Well, you know, I mean, for me, obviously anything local I'm going to do. Yeah. I've done a lot of stuff local around here. You know, when I through the interview process, I just said, hey, you know, if you guys want to use me for anything, you know, I'm in. I would love to help out, be a representative. You know, it's weird. Like, I don't like public speaking. I don't like it at all. But I, you know, done a lot of it. I don't think I'm very good at it.
I think that's the first thing you told us when you were the honorary captain during our time. During your Friday speech was like, I don't like public speaking.
It's weird. You know, like I can get a defense lined up, you know, 10 professionals lined up against, you know, Tom Brady or whatever in front of 60,000 people with millions of people watching, but stand up and give like a 1 minute speech. I'm like, I'd rather not do that. It's strange. But then again, you know, the more you do it, the more comfortable you get, and you kind of get your spiel down. And so, yeah, there'll be, you know, there's different speaking events, iClubs, all that stuff that we'll probably start, I would say, probably in the spring. I was able to do a couple in the summer last year, but nothing too crazy. But yeah, if they would, however they want to use me, I'll do it. The good thing too is my employer's pretty cool with it. Like they're very supportive, which is awesome.
I would hope so. If you've got somebody who represents your brand who's also doing that, and like you have to be supportive of it, or else you're just like not a good boss.
I'm lucky. I'm lucky I got good, because you know they basically said, "Hey, if this thing's good for you, it's good for us." And I really appreciate them doing that.
I think that's true. Probably, yeah. Man, because that's Gary's doing all kinds of stuff like that. Like he's like ambassador of the university almost. Yeah. Like,
I mean, gosh, he does the Hawk Talk with football and basketball, and does the game.
We need you on the Hawk Talk. We got to have you sitting down. I wish it was still at Carlos O'Kelly's. I mean, that goes all the way back to your time, I'm pretty sure, when it was at Carlos O'Kelly's. Dude, they used to have this I still laugh my ass off every time I think about it. They used to have this little promo of KF at Carlos O'Kelly's doing like this. He's like, I love the chips. The salsa's great. It's like, they're like, all right, Kirk, you're gonna grab one of the chips, dip it in the salsa, say the line. And you can just tell that's exactly how it went. And it's like Kirk in his voice. I was the first time I saw that in the stadium, I was laughing my ass off. But if we could get like a nostalgia throwback, Pat Anger interviewing Kirk Ferentz at the Carlos O'Kelly's with a bowl of chips and salsa, I mean that would do numbies, is what we call that around here. Don't you think, Drake?
Sorry, I couldn't unmute my mic. Sorry, I was doing the mic mute because I'm frying the bacon and then trying to answer. I couldn't get over anything other than you calling Coach Ferentz by his first name, like the piece of shit you are.
I do agree with that, Drake. I think it's Coach Ferentz. It's not
Coach Ferentz till the grave, dude.
Yep, I agree. Drake.
I was
KF maybe. KF is like, okay, we are in our 30s now, but maybe Coach KF or Slack, but it's, I don't know. I couldn't get over that. I think that's blasphemous.
I wasn't calling him that. I was acting as the commercial director.
Oh, he's stumbling.
Yeah, we got him backed into a corner, Pat.
Yep.
All right, you guys fucking talk. I don't care. I don't care. Burn this thing to the ground. I don't care. Why couldn't you win us a Super Bowl like Cooper DeJean?
Yeah, I'm not good. He's way better. he's really good.
He's so good at football.
That was just so sick. On his 22nd birthday, the kid is only 22 years old, and he's making the single defensive play of the biggest game that the world has to offer. It's mind-blowing. Audible, awesome. Iowa, to the biggest play in the Super Bowl. The kid's a fucking superstar.
Yes, he is. And a good dude, too.
Yeah.
Like, way better. Way better of a guy than us.
Way better. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can attest to that.
Just so many factors of 10 better. How close did you ever get to anything? Like, were you guys – how good were you guys?
We made the playoffs every year except for one. First year we lost like a wild card game to the Jets, Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And he played with Peyton Manning, Kluver.
It's been a while for the Colts, man. So I just like.
Yeah. No, seriously. It's weird to see him not being very good. And then my third year we lost to the Ravens in the first round. They ended up winning the Super Bowl. And then my fourth, Sean Considine on that team, Super Bowl champ.
Rest in peace, Jacoby Jones.
Oh, yeah, he was
the
good.
Kick return to open the game.
Oh, yeah. And then my fourth year, I think we made it. Yeah, fourth year AFC Championship game, I want to say. We lost to the Patriots.
So you guys were in the mix.
Yeah, we should have won my third. Yeah, fourth year we should have won because we beat – I think – I want to say it was – don't fact check this. I want to say it was Broncos and Panthers in the Super Bowl, and we beat them – no, Broncos and Seahawks in the Super Bowl, and we beat them both in the regular season.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's tough.
We had a squad. We just couldn't – you know, Tom Brady wasn't that bad.
And
no, well, yeah. Tom Brady was – he was him.
Yeah, he was legit.
Grant and I just talked about that today when we were. It's like, to 7 Super Bowls, man.
It's crazy.
Like when you think about how unbelievable Pat has been, and you're sitting there after he loses this one on Sunday, and you're like, man, how many truly can you get back to? Like how you only get so many opportunities, and he would have to get back to and win 4 to tie Tom Brady.
It's crazy.
It's insane. What was it like?
Tom went to 10. There was in his 20-year career, he went to 10 Super Bowls.
I know.
First of all, a 20-year career is half the beyond time nuts.
You're in the Super Bowl.
How was it preparing it to play against Tom Brady as the Mike linebacker? Were you just like, hey, boys,
so sick?
Or fuck.
That had to be a week of out of like a dream.
Hey guys,
yeah, it was tough because they'd hurry up and they'd get you in the defense and you wouldn't have time to switch. They get you in defense that they want and they totally take advantage of you. I remember them. We were in 2-man and I think they came out without a running back and put Wes Welker in the backfield. So I'm on Wes Welker, right? And then they motion him out to 3, so then I got to go out with him.
Not good.
And dude, he just worked me. I was like, all right, I'm not gonna let him get inside. So I cut off the inside. I was like, dude, I'm awesome. And then he just went straight vertical, caught a touchdown.
he said, dude, I'm awesome. I'm so good, dude. He didn't cross face at all, bro.
No, yeah, and yeah, that wasn't great.
Man, I'd love to see that clip.
Hopefully it's not there.
Somebody find me a Welker touchdown, 3 vert on Pat Anger. Please, I want to see that. God, I feel your pain, though, because, I mean, that happened to me in high school. I wasn't even fast enough to guard high school guys on a 3 vert. And every time it happened, I was like, God damn it. Like, if teams were smart, they could have beat Marshalltown worse than they did because I wasn't guarding that thing.
The one thing with Tom Brady is that, and that wasn't a big deal. After every game, he would come over and he'd say, "Hey, Pat, good game," and he'd shake my hand. And it, you know, like, dude, I'm nobody, and I didn't take the time to memorize guys on offense's names at all. You know, I know their number, not their names. And for him to take that time, obviously, he was pretty dialed in.
Special guy.
That shows that you were one of those dudes. Yeah, one of those dudes he was preparing for.
Or they're probably like, hey, see this Pat guy here? We're going to really take advantage of him this week. He sucks. Hey, and that's probably
still preparing for you.
He just really got to know you.
Hey, whether they're preparing one way or the other, it's still preparing, brother.
I mean, that guy gave up his family to play one more year of football. It's incredible. Unbelievable. Is that a Bettendorf hat or like a Bruins
Bettendorf hat.
Okay.
Let's be real. Tom Brady played one more year of football so he could get rid of that broad that he was dragging around.
Well, I mean, got to look out for those jiu-jitsu guys. I don't know.
That's true.
Dude, she's expecting her first kid with this dude.
I know.
She's the world's fastest purple belt of all time. She must be an absolute jiu-jitsu savant.
She would work your ass, clearly.
I don't know if she'd work my ass, but she'd definitely try and work my pole. That seems what she's up to.
Jeez.
Thanks for coming on, Pat.
Yeah.
No, you found it. No, you didn't.
This might be.
Oh, let me see this.
God. Right. You've got to be shitting me. That's certainly Pat, that white guy in the middle.
Watch it.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, it's just glitchy.
Is this it?
Gotta be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yep. God, that freeze frame of hit. Of
hey, you did not give up your inside leverage, Pat. That's Thank all I've got to say.
And that's pretty stupid of me because I don't have safety help deep middle. But, hey.
Oh, I cannot believe you found that, Grant.
I can't believe it either, honestly.
That is incredible, producer.
Find a way. I'm going to go find that video and report it as spam or something.
You got to get that off the internet, right?
Got to get that scrubbed off the net.
This guy, the Zapruder film, trying to – this guy recorded off his own TV.
the anger film in the archives. This has nothing to do with your current job of – back when you were in the league, I'm just curious about your take on this. Were there guys that like you clearly could tell were
juicing?
Juicing. Yeah, you could talk about that too. That wasn't what I was going to ask. where like they treated it as like this is my job, and like you know, like they'd walk away from a game or like a locker room, and you're like, God, he doesn't care about this. He doesn't care about losing.
Yeah, and honestly, it was kind of an adjustment. And I think everybody cared, but I think those guys probably understood it was a business. But that was a big difference of, you know, those plane rides home when you lose, right?
Yeah.
And no one's talking, everyone's pissed. It's not like that in the league. Everyone's laughing, playing cards, you know, joking around, having a couple cocktails. That was a weird adjustment. That definitely was an adjustment. Then the hard part is then – if that's the culture, then you kind of become that, right? But it still hurts. It's still a part of your life. It's still, you know, we're still down. I mean, gosh, that one season we lost like 13 in a row or 12 in a row or something like that. Like that was painful. And it still hurts. It still hurts when you lose, but there's some guys that definitely deal with it a little bit better. And sometimes it's the guys that make a lot of money too.
Yeah, it's just a weird concept. I mean, Josie's talked about it before, and Josie's been on some bad teams. I mean, Josie hasn't seen the playoffs.
Careful.
He hasn't been yet?
Not one time.
Well, they're about to make a run. Panthers about to make a run.
Panthers 2025 could be.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. He's really good too. But Josie's really good at football.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. I mean, he's good for
him. There's not a lot of guys that tackle as well as him.
No, if he gets to you, it's clamps. Like he's going to get you.
Yeah,
and I didn't even like doing tackling circuit with him in practice because it hurt.
I forgot they'd make a specialist do the tackling circuit.
Well, they didn't for a long time, and then Doyle just got pissed at me standing there. He's, you know, one of those times where he's just like, "No, this isn't right. The fucking long snappers should not just
specialists do need to know how to tackle.
You do tackle, yeah, you should as a long snapper. If you have the hardest, you always had the hardest tackle." You're running 40 yards, open space.
Yeah. That's if I got past the second string linebacker that was 6'3", 240. <You're right. laughs> Tough to run with that guy down the field, you know?
Speaking of specialists, Vinny used to do the tackling circuit with us.
Shout out,
really,
Vinny, man.
How did he not make it first ballot Hall of Fame?
I was going to ask.
Absolute shame.
I was going to ask you about that and Keekly.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about him. Dude's a beast. Yeah, Vinny has a highlight. There's a highlight of him tackling Herschel Walker.
Holy shit.
He Think ran about him down. That. He ran Herschel Walker down, took the angle, ran him down.
He was that old that he was.
Yeah, dude.
Oh my God.
Holy smokes.
I mean, I think he would have had to have played in the league longer than some of his teammates were alive.
Yes, 100%.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's nuts, dude.
I think his career was
23 years, 24 years, something like that.
he definitely had teammates that were 22 or 23.
Yeah.
Man.
What a badass actor.
I don't know how his hip stayed on. I mean, that is truly incredible.
Well, obviously he took care of himself. He was very, very good at, you know, keeping the mobility and the strength and all that stuff. And he, you know, probably didn't look like he was strong or anything, but dude took care of himself. Oh, there it is.
My God.
With just under 6 minutes.
Just 360p film.
In this opening quarter.
Oh my God. Oh no. He broke loose.
It is a foot race for a Terry diving.
Then he runs him down.
He got his ass.
The kicker ran him down, Mark.
That is absolutely remarkable. Running down Herschel Walker.
He said Herschel got up and goes, man, an effing kicker.
Vinatieri is an athlete, though. He, I think even like as recent of like the last 3 or 4 years, he'll still post like videos of him squatting and benching on Twitter, I think.
Beast.
Like I mean, you could do that too with the setup you got back there.
Nobody wants to see this.
You haven't touched that shit,
You got to stay strong here.
Do you still back squat?
Yeah, not heavy though. I got a little belt squat set up that I use.
Hell yeah! Shout out to a belt squat.
At 38 and the career that you had, what hurts now as a 38-year-old?
I need a knee replacement.
Really.
I've needed it for a while. I'm just on cortisone and just putting it off.
Oh, so you and Drake are in the same boat. Drake's going to
have to. I need an ankle replacement.
He's going to have to get his ankle cut off.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. They're going to cut my foot off to replace my ankle.
That's intense.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Are you going to have to do that here, like, soon?
I'm not going to do it soon because it won't hold.
Yeah, that's my thing. That's everyone's like, we'll get it done. And I'm like, well, it only lasts till I'm 55. And then all my friends are like, well, how much longer you got to live anyway? And then I'm like,
for you two guys, that might be a valid argument. You know, it might be valid.
Nah, Pat's got three kids. He lives the dad life now, dude.
It's wild.
Dad life's a good life, man.
It is. It gets crazy. As soon as you start thinking you got to figure it out, you realize you don't.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I love that.
How old's your daughter? Oh, second one on the way. How old's your daughter now?
She's just turned 2 in December.
Nah, dude, 2's a good age. They say terrible
Kim
2's.
Kim Diesel's
I love
a goat,
2's.
Too. She's an awesome girl.
She's a goat.
3's a tough age. 2 is a good age.
Oh, which is crazy because you hear about the terrible 2's.
Yeah.
It's so fun right now, man. She's just starting to babble like sentences together. Like half real words, half just gibberish. And she's got, and you can tell she's got like these thought processes. Like she knows exactly what she's saying, but everyone's like, what is going on? It's incredible.
Pretty soon she'll be calling you bro. My middle schoolers call me brah, bro.
I hear that's yeah. what.
Yeah. And I'm like, not your bro. Just
elbow him in the face.
Yeah, just get him. Yeah. Knock
my mom,
his teeth out.
My mom and wife are both teachers in elementary school. So. Whenever I like my brother or I call my brother's bro, my mom will go, stop with the bro. I can't hear bro. Don't. Wow, the kids really must use that a lot these days because
yeah,
triggers well, then, mom.
Well, then the hard part, then like you say it to make fun of them, but then it becomes your vocabulary.
Yeah.
So then it just, yeah, not good.
That's not tough. Good. Hey, yeah. At least, oh, man.
At least you're hip, I guess.
No. No, I'm bald. I'm bald and
yeah.
I don't have anything. I barely leave the house, Pat. I work from this office and dude, I'm in the golden age of my parenting because when the kids are 2, you know, maybe up through, I don't know, 4 or 5, you're like the best thing ever. You're a superhero.
Yeah.
And then like eventually after that, it's just, you suck.
Yeah. Yeah. I my daughters are a little bit better. Like my daughter, like, we're cool. You know, my boys
for now.
Yeah. And I heard that changes and then the sun's come around. So hopefully it times up.
That's true. You might get them back while she.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Everybody says that like 14, 15 is the worst age.
Yeah.
Like, so
that's why you got to keep training because you might have to knock somebody out.
I know. I'm waiting for Drake to have kids so he can experience it all.
I'm sure he's got a couple running around.
I don't know about all these kid talks, man.
He might have a few. There's a couple Kulik genetics out there, maybe.
There are.
Yeah, me and Kluber, we got kids. We don't have hair. Drake, keep your hair and your money.
Yeah.
And but your money.
America needs you to reproduce, though. If we're going to win a war. We need.
See, and that's what the boys keep trying to talk me into, is that America needs more of the boys.
Amen.
I mean, I'd rather have more Drakes than more of like your average human out there, which is scary. But
someone's got to fight these wars, Drake.
You're not wrong.
Who are we going to war with?
I don't know. Right now, I'm got a battle with obesity and hair loss and high blood pressure.
Bro, they got.
I'm losing them. I'm losing the battle.
You just Olympus and hair loss is fine. Like bald is fine.
Yeah.
And what else? What else did you say?
He added blood pressure in there.
Blood pressure medication is off the chart now. You can basically completely nix that problem too.
No, I'm good. I'm all natural.
Okay.
I'm a little tea, but I'm all natural.
Are you on the tea?
You get the tea?
Dude, I can't
Bro,
wait.
Bro, you got to get the tea.
You got to get the TRT. Dude, when I'm at the first time I'm significantly like, dude, I don't have it anymore. TRT going on.
Might as well.
And that'll be hopefully another at least 10, 15 years. And by then they'll just have it dialed.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think everybody should probably be on it after something.
No, absolutely.
It's not going to bring your hair back, but.
No, but I'll tell you what, it makes you feel good.
I'm sure it does. Yeah, Drake. I mean, Drake's in.
I got tested, and my free testosterone was 6.
Whoa.
Yeah, Drake's got a couple factors that just drove his truly into the ground.
Wow.
Yeah, and there were other symptoms too. I won't go over it.
But dude, I tell you what, man, it's the best. It's a game changer.
Shout out to modern medicine.
Yeah, shout out. I mean, in 10 years, like 10 or 20 years, we'll probably figure out how to live forever anyway. So,
do you want to?
No.
Yeah.
No, but
I'm going to try.
You think so?
Well,
how long do you think without that? What are the anger genetics? How long do we get Pat for on this earth?
What? My dad's what? Dad's 85?
Oh, that's great.
82?
Oh, your 80, genetics 80 are something. Kicking ass.
Yeah, but my dad, I never saw him drink, never did anything, you know.
Damn, I do, neither I do, did you, though. You're pretty clean, though.
I do like to have some whiskey on occasion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in a glass.
In a glass, okay.
Like a gentleman.
Yeah. Not out of the bottle. Not just straight out of the bottle.
That would be something. Like, next time you come on the – oh, fuck, we screwed up. I said we were going to eat Krispy Kremes on here. On Twitter.
Yeah, quit trying to tell me how to eat,
bro. I got another job other than this that involves health coaching. So I gotta
two high noons on this podcast because Pat was coming on
and bacon.
You know what a guy told me once? He said, "You know why fish are lean?" And I said, "Why?" He goes, "Because they eat other fish."
Yeah,
I suppose that's true. I guess I don't know.
They're always moving.
I think that's probably got something to do with it.
Yeah.
Activity is good. You get your walk in.
But a carnivore diet is good.
Yeah, I agree. I think everyone should eat meat.
Yeah, dude, I'm all in.
There you go.
Problem is, I like pizza and other stuff.
God, pizza's so good.
Especially when you're on this. Yeah. You go on these trips to make these game calls and you go to those fancy dinners. I mean, you're just mashed potatoes. I mean,
I was going to bring it up earlier, but how good are those pregame meals on the university's dollar with all the boys?
Yeah, so we don't do the team dinners. I think they
I know, like at the at a restaurant, like you and Dolph and all the boys sitting around having cocktails and steaks.
Oh, dude, it's about just making fun of each other. It's
I would love to be at one of those dinners.
It's awesome. Come on back for one, man.
That I can make happen. If I'm invited to an Anger and Dolph dinner, that I can make happen.
Yeah, as long as Dolph's paying, dude, I'm in.
Oh,
shit, I'll pay the tab if I can come hang out with you boys.
Dude, absolutely.
Any before we let you go, any not regrets, but anything that was harder than you thought it would be? Anything that you'd like you got into this year with the job and you were like, ah shit, this actually I don't love this part of it.
Honestly, man, I loved every part of it. You know, the hard part for me is I felt like, and I'm sure it happens, I felt like they're say the same thing too many times, you know, but it's
oh God, it's a good thing you don't podcast, dude. We're 600 episodes in and we just do the same
thing. Well, then, you know, after the game, asking the questions, like the first couple games, I wasn't really writing notes down because you kind of forget kind of the, well, this happened in the first quarter, this happened in the second quarter. I started kind of taking notes down during the game, which I probably wish I would have done or should have done earlier. But I saw that Gary has like a thing that he writes down. I'm like, well, gosh, I should have done that. No, man, it was great. Gary, he runs it. He carries me the whole time.
What happens when he retires?
I don't know, man. I told him I need him for the next 10, 20 more years.
How old is he? Like 70?
He's in his prime.
Yeah, man, I was going to say, Dolph is still in his absolute prime.
I know. Yep. But if we could get Dolph till like 90 years old and he's still just bawling out on the mic, that'd be incredible.
He could do it.
Pat would be falling
you
apart.
You see it happen in baseball all the time.
You're right. There are some guys that call baseball games foul for ball. 50
years.
Strike three.
Like Harry Carey here.
I'll send him back to the dugout. Jones on deck. That'll be Pat. So you're excited to keep doing this?
Yeah, I mean, if they continue to let me, I would absolutely love to continue to do it.
Well, that's good to hear. Everybody will be happy to hear that because I know I saw a lot of good feedback on you last year. So,
no, thanks, man.
And did you not cuss one time?
No, didn't cuss.
That's incredible.
It is kind of weird that you can do that. Obviously, yeah. Sometimes in the break when you're clear, then there's some cuss words.
I can't wait until you get on a hot mic. I can't.
Yeah, not good. That wouldn't be good.
Deep Drive to Left by Castellanos.
Oh, God.
And this is the last time that you can hear from me on this microphone. My career is
that
up
guy.
In the air. Hopefully we don't have that moment for
Pat. He's back on, though.
Is he really?
Oh, he was calling with who's the dude? Like, he used to be like a five-star, went to USC, then now he's a J on the CW. He's calling like Wake Forest versus Duke. On Saturday.
It is tough because, and probably same with this, is you do sometimes forget that you are on a mic, you are live. Like you do forget because I initially obviously didn't because I was terrified, but then once you get more comfortable in it, then you kind of forget and that's not good.
Yeah. When we do this, it's like, cool. We're just talking with Pat, right? But then you put it into context, you're like, well, 8,000 people are going to listen to this the next week. So it's like if you fill up, 60% of Carver Hawkeye Arena and they're all just listening to you talk, have a conversation. So it's like that makes it more weird. Good.
It's been fun going to, the youth sporting events, after the season and seeing people that are Iowa fans and talking to them. And like, that's been cool too.
Getting some advice from people like, hey, you should do this, man.
Yeah. I'm all in. I'm all ears.
G-Bone, you got any questions before Pat?
Talk to him about that.
G-Bone.
Well, now I am curious. Are people coming up to you like, oh, it's the Iowa announcer? Or are they like, oh, it's Pat Enger, NFL, Iowa football legend?
Oh, I don't know if I'm a legend. I think the announcer. Yeah, the announcer thing, which is strange. And it's weird, like, my kids, like, they'll grow up me being the radio guy, not the football player, which is strange. And hopefully this lasts longer than my football career, but it is weird. It's really weird. Cause I never really thought anything I said really mattered. And
does now.
Yeah. It's strange. People want to hear you talk and it's like, I don't know anything.
Yeah. And then I am curious, you briefly mentioned it, I believe earlier, but walk us through the process of you did a just, electric interview of a guy who got crushed in the face by a kickoff. I believe it was front row. Just it seemed drunk out of his mind. Walk us through like talking to him and kind of managing like, okay, this like he might be a little all over the place. Just got probably a concussion, a couple of beverages as well too. Like talk us through that experience you had.
Well, yeah, you know, he ended up, I saw it go off his head, and Gary thought it went off of the goalpost. And and Gary's like, are you serious? And Corey was like, yeah, dude, in the break. So Gary's like, hey, Rob, go down and interview the guy. And Rob went down and asked him a simple question, allowed him to talk. And it was so awesome. And we sent him some stuff. I ended up calling him, I think his uncle had reached out to me on Twitter, and was able to talk to him the next day. And just a great Iowa fan, great guy. He was feeling good. He was feeling real good.
And that quote is like, it's all coming a lot faster than you think it is.
Yeah, I seen it coming. But like, it obviously, you know, some people could take that and get embarrassed, right? He owned it and he had fun with it. And like, that's he handled it perfectly.
He said, we get back up, we swarm.
It was so good, man. It was so awesome. And hopefully, I told him, I'm like, dude, you got to find a way to make some money off of this. And then the shirts came out, and I think all the money got donated back to the Swarm. So the dude's a stand-up guy.
That's incredible.
Well, it's how many times you wanted to get hit in the face by kickoff in order for Iowa to afford a quarterback? That's the question that fans need to be asking themselves right now.
With what we supposedly paid, we might need a few more fans to get hit in the face.
Drake's locked out somehow. And then I'm curious. You put Andrew Luck. He's kind of been around lately because he's now the GM, I guess, of Stanford. You're hearing more stories about him. Like, what's he like?
Andrew Luck is the GM of Stanford.
For Stanford football, not the university, I guess.
Oh, I mean, that's still a big deal, but
it's still a huge deal. But I'm curious, like, what he was like as a teammate. Was he like, were you like reading books with him at all? Like, did he always have a flip phone? I know he had one in college, right? Like, what was he kind of like? He's a little bit of a mystery.
Peyton had a flip phone for the longest time too. I don't know. I'm sure he's got an iPhone now, but Andrew came in my third year. He was a rookie and just a nice guy. Just a good dude. Dorky, and he knew it, but also cool, get along with anybody. And every game we won from my third and fourth year, like he won it for us. He was competitive. He was a lot faster than people think too. I think he was a 4.6, 4.5 guy. Played, you know, took a lot of hits he probably shouldn't have, but he was just so competitive that he was going to take him. And you know, it's unfortunate because I think he could have been one of the best to ever do it.
Andrew Luck was truly a generationally talented player with his career cut short.
I agree. And I wish they would have built a better team around him because he could have done some really, really good things. I thought by getting rid of me, that's what they were doing. But
you were part of the process. Like, we're trying to build around this. Yeah, Pat, you're just not part of that. All right.
Anybody under 6 foot, you got to go.
Man. Well,
cool. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys. What do you got? You got something else?
No, I was going to follow up because, like, I mean, you part of the reason why I asked about Andrew Luck too is like you have a quote where you said, "I think my favorite Andrew Luck story is one that hasn't been written yet." Has that story been written yet? Because that was 12 years ago. Has your favorite Andrew Luck story been written yet? It's follow up.
Probably not because his career got that short.
You did say that,
dude. That's a good quote.
That's a legendary quote, Pat.
I was going to say. I was like, "There's a good quote." There's a good chance that he doesn't remember saying this, but
no, I don't even remember what I had for breakfast. but yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, he's a freaking genius, and guy knows his stuff. I said freaking. I mean, gosh, I think his wife, when we were playing, his wife worked for NASA.
Holy smokes.
The dude, Jesus Christ, that family's ridiculous. Yeah, the dude can do anything. I mean, his dad's a legend.
They never talk to each other. Like, he's trying to win Super Bowls. She's building rockets. Like, hey, what's for dinner? I don't know. We don't eat. We're trying to be successful around here.
Right.
Well, Pat, we're glad you were able to join us tonight. It's a rare occasion when we get someone that sucks Drake back into the fold here and makes him part of the show. So you're special enough for that, obviously.
I'm honored. I love Hall of Fame Drake. I love you guys.
Jesus Christ, Hall of Fame Drake. It's incredible. All right, everybody.
One of my favorite people on planet Earth.
Hey, you say when, I got your back, Drake.
I would agree with
that. I love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to Pat and us talk. We got Brad Heinrichs on Monday. So look forward to that one. See you then. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.